This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. Hi, how are you? I am Adam Gold. It feels like a throwback Tuesday, doesn't it? You know why? Dennis Cox is here.
Who?
Dennis Cox is
I don't know who that is.
It's like, Dennis Cox, who I, hold on one second, let me correctly identify you.
Okay.
Senior producer. Senior producer here. Most notably with the OG on our Raleigh affiliate, Joe Ovius and Joe Giglio. It's like that switch was made like 10 days ago.
Yeah. It's
and you've been back here twice already.
Yeah. And I'm actually here tomorrow.
You are here tomorrow with like.
And I'm here Friday.
Why don't we just admit that all these things are fluid? This is a 2-minute drill. All the time.
Basically.
A 2-minute drill all the time. Well, welcome back. You get to place bets. You left on a hot streak.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're still on a hot streak or not. I'm kind of cold. We've had some winds sprinkled here and there in. So we'll do that again coming up at 1:45. We've got a lot of things to do. V to the Victoria is on assignment. Did you hear the story before we start? Did you hear the story that she was not allowed. She couldn't watch the Panthers win over who did the Panthers just play? The Saints.
Saints, yeah.
On Sunday because she was at a baby shower.
Yeah, she actually told me this.
Right.
She told me this yesterday, and then she said, "Well, if that's the good luck thing, then so be it." I said, "Well, you know what? That's the sacrifice we're willing to make. So tell all your friends
you're willing to make it."
Well,
she's reluctantly willing to make it.
Well, I mean, if it's for the Panthers to win, but I say, hey, just tell all your friends. You know, come springtime, get busy.
It's possible that she's at a baby shower today, for all we know.
Yeah, that's
today and
true.
Tomorrow. Maybe she's already doing double-barreled baby showers.
Already trying to get the Canes a win. Look at that.
Could be. Could very well be. So if you have a baby shower coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock and you want to guarantee a Panthers win, then let Victoria know.
Yeah. No. You don't even have to know her. Just she bring her along.
She was so mad.
I know.
Like, why are we doing this outside? Let's do baby shower inside where there's a TV so I can watch the damn game. Good for her. All right. We have a lot of things to do, so let's go. The ice friendlies are here. Preseason Hurricanes hockey. Right before Ian shows up. In fact, Ian has already made its presence felt. Hurricanes were supposed to play 3 games in a row to start the preseason. In all, 6 games in 8 days. Don't know if the game tomorrow will be made up. I just spoiled the fun there. Tomorrow's game at Tampa already wiped out. The Buccaneers, by the way, are not even practicing in Tampa this week. They are moving their home base to South Florida because it looks like Ian is coming right up the Gulf and is going to slam right into Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. Where it goes from there will have a lot to say about the impact at Clemson for State's top 10 matchup with the Tigers. So it might already be through there by Saturday. But this thing is not a fast-moving storm right now. It is not flying up the southeastern part of the United States. Anyway, for right now, Thursday's game with Florida is still on. We'll talk to Tripp Tracy in about 10 minutes about tonight's game. And if you are in Raleigh, Storm Watch, 6:30 tonight. We are back. My gosh.
It's wild to think that hockey's being played. Professionally.
On Friday, it will be exactly 4 months since their last game.
Wow.
Friday, 4 months since their last game. I can't decide if it feels like 4 weeks or like a full year. It's one of the two. So, because depending on, you know, what you're really into, could feel like, man, it's been forever. Because we all wanted the season to last a little bit longer. All right. The Dallas Cowboys came back to beat the New Jersey Giants on the road in East Rutherford, 23-16. The easiest thing to do would be to call this the Cooper Rush Show, as some people want. He was good. I thought Cooper Rush was pretty good. 215 yards passing, the late TD strike for the game-winning score to CeeDee Lamb. But this was about running the football for Dallas. 100% about running the football. Over 175 yards on the ground. That's a lot for an NFL team, especially in this day and age. Tony Pollard went over 100 yards. Ezekiel Elliott was solid as well. 70-some-odd yards on the ground, almost 5 yards a carry. And now Dak is yakking about coming back next week. I wish Dak would not do that. Look, Jera was joking when the owner of the team, after their win last week, was asked about, well, what if Cooper Rush goes on a hot streak? Is that a quarterback controversy? First of all, no, it's not. Second, you want your team to win. So Jerry was like, oh, man, we'd love to have that conversation, wouldn't we? Yeah, it would be good for talk radio, but it ain't going to happen, right, Keyshawn Johnson of ESPN?
We only know about Tom Brady because of Drew Bledsoe, actually because of Mo Lewis. Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe and cracked whatever his sternum or whatever it was, and all of a sudden Tom Brady was born. The New England Patriots and Bill Belichick were not even thinking about Tom Brady.
Sixth-round pick.
It's like, man, we're going to draft a guy this year anyway, but we have to have a guy who can play. And then all of a sudden, it did a little more. But Drew Bledsoe wasn't on $150 million guaranteed money. So it's a little bit different. Cooper Rush is a nice player for them. And he could be a starter, it seems like, in the league based on what we're seeing.
Look, Dak Prescott is being paid a gazillion billion flillion dollars to play quarterback for the Cowboys. Cooper Rush is doing a good job at what he is being asked to do. There's nobody on this earth that thinks that Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, aside from maybe Mrs. Rush. Maybe Cooper does. But it's good to know that your backup can win you a couple of football games. I know this is going to sound weird. Dallas still hadn't played anybody.
Look, imagine that.
Cincinnati's not great.
They're not.
Just not great. And the Giants, I don't even think the Giants are good.
No.
I said it after the game in week two. I'm like, yeah, the Giants, everybody's excited because the Giants 2-0. I kind of think the Giants are bad. They just happen to be 2-0.
Yeah, they barely squeaked by the Panthers, who we all know are not
right.
Very good.
And they could have easily lost the game. Here's the thing about the game last night. And everybody's going crazy about Dallas right now, right? Like, man, are the Cowboys this good? I'm like, nah, man, the Cowboys just beat a bad team on the road. That's all. The Cowboys are good. Their defense is really good. Their offense has challenges. They can't pass block, but they can run block. So as long as they can get out in front or stay close with a team like the Giants, the Cowboys can win those games. But when the Cowboys step up in class and you play the likes of the Eagles or some of the other better teams in either the NFC or the AFC, then Dallas better have a lead and be able to lean on the running game. Otherwise, they ain't winning. That's the way the Cowboys appear to me to be built. But that was a good win last night because it was a division game, it was on the road, and it was with your number two quarterback. All right, to college. Yesterday we played a few clips from Mac Brown's post-game press conference where he was talking about recruiting and Notre Dame is great, blah, blah, blah. Yes, Notre Dame has recruited well, slightly better over the last 4 years than North Carolina, but not enough for UNC to be humiliated at home by an offense that was at best mediocre, that you made look like the late 70s Pittsburgh Steelers. Not the defensive style Pittsburgh Steelers who barely could score but didn't give up any points. But I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers of back-to-back Super Bowls at the end of the 70s when Terry Bradshaw had it going with Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, and they still had Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. That team, that offense could kill you in all ways. But Matt also admitted upon his return, or that since his return, Carolina's defense has been inconsistent. I would argue that it's been very consistent, just consistently bad. I think they've been very consistent. We pretty much know what we're going to get with North Carolina. But is the die cast? Let's hear from Mac Brown on two fronts.
Defensively, we're very disappointed. We have good players. We have good coaches. I'm not sure the disconnect, but it's there. It's real. You can't hide from it. We are playing good at times. We played a good first quarter, and then all of a sudden we have a blitz. We should be sacking their quarterback, and he scrambles 8 yards for a first down. And then it seems like we get down and start giving up plays. And we gave up 24 points in the last 5 minutes of the half and the first 5 minutes of the second half that changed that game.
Yeah, I agree. Can it be fixed, Mac?
Everything that's talked about on our defense is talking about how bad they are. And these kids are fighting it. And that's a positive thing. And I really believe they're going to be good before the year's over. Are the stats going to be good? No, we're already too bad. Statistically, we're going to be one of the worst teams in the country on defense at the end of the year because we're already there. But can they get better? Do they show signs? Yeah, it's a great first quarter. Now, why don't we do it the second quarter? Had a great fourth quarter at Georgia State. Had a great second and third quarter at App State. Why don't we play a whole game? That's what we got to figure out.
All right. Why you played a great first quarter against Notre Dame and then got squashed? Because your team they haven't gotten better. They're not deep enough defensively. Why was your fourth quarter at Georgia State good defensively? Because they don't have the personnel that you do. So at the end of that game, you guys had more left in the tank than they did. Like, this is really about developing players. That's what it's about. And I said this yesterday, and I was talking to somebody today about it. Notre Dame's running back, who went for, I don't know, 170 yards or whatever number seven did. He looked bigger. I know he's not, but he looked bigger than everybody on Carolina's defensive line did. That's a problem. That's where you see the difference. In Carolina's front seven defensively, that's where you see the difference. They don't have, it doesn't seem to me, they don't have anybody really that looks like Notre Dame's front, Notre Dame's offensive line, Notre Dame's running back, or if they play Clemson, or so any of the good, they don't have anybody that looks like that. Like, do we lift weights? I'm sure they do. Anyway, by the way, statistically speaking, these are the schools that rank below UNC's 495.2 yards per game allowed. And remember, the Heels opened up the season by playing Florida A&M. Nebraska, they're worse than Carolina. Bowling Green, Florida International, Ohio, and Charlotte. The Heels are, I think, 126th in the nation in yards allowed per game.
Oh.
But Carolina's only 98th on third down conversion defense.
Oh, okay.
Much improved.
Yes.
42% conversion rate allowed on third down. That ain't good either. All right. Hopefully it'll get better. But yes, Mac is right. The die is cast in terms of where they're going to be ranked. They're going to stay near the bottom. Although maybe getting into conference play, it'll be easy. Nah, can't be easier. Can't be easier. All right. Finally, Brooklyn Nets media day yesterday, which means we get to hear from two of the most complicated and talented players in the history of the NBA. I don't think that's a stretch to say that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are both incredibly talented and incredibly complicated. Remember Kevin Durant's trade request? Mm-hmm. Well, the Nets tried. They absolutely tried. But once DeAndre Ayton was taken out of play for them, there really wasn't a good fit. We know that the Warriors discussed internally bringing Kevin Durant back. And there might have been a deal there. Who knows? James Wiseman might have been part of that part of that deal, but I don't know that anybody believes that James Wiseman is going to be good enough to be included in a Kevin Durant trade. Anyway, Durant starts the season in Brooklyn.
First, are you surprised you're still here?
No. I know I'm that good that you're just not going to give me away. So that's one thing I did appreciate about Sean and Jode is, like, you're too great for us to give you away. Just that easy, that simple. So I get that. I know who I am.
I mean, that's facts only, man. He's 100% right.
Like, where is he wrong?
He's 100% right. If you're going to move Kevin Durant, you got to get a whole bunch back. And again, once DeAndre Ayton was off the board, there really wasn't a good trade. Now, Kyrie Irving. Remember, he and Durant did this whole Brooklyn thing together, and he nearly saw it all blow up.
It was just a lot. Like, hearing Kev want a trade request, I opt in. It's awkward. It's very awkward. I'm sitting at home, like, I don't know what to think of it, but because there's a trust that we have within each other, I just ultimately want to see him do well and be happy.
I think those guys genuinely do have a great relationship with each other, even though it had to be strained a year ago. With all that said, with Ben Simmons and Joe Harris and their depth pieces, I mean, it might be completely dysfunctional, but I'm not sure that there is a more talented team in the NBA, let alone the Eastern Conference, than the Brooklyn Nets. They might be at the very, very top. A little hockey, Dennis, shall we? A featured guest on the just-released Kane's Corner podcast, the latest one, the only, like, normal one I've done in the last 2 months. My friend, Trip Tracy, analyst, Carolina Hurricanes. We're here. It's here. The preseason friendlies have begun. Are you ready?
Excited, for sure. Beginning tonight, AG. It's too bad. It was thinking about everybody on the west coast of Florida with the game being postponed tomorrow. But I bring that up because I think there's going to be a stark difference in how we look at home preseason games, three at home and three on the road, because I think some of the younger players trying to make the team, the Jack Drurys of the world, some veteran forwards, and then who it's going to be on the fifth and sixth slot with regards to your third defensive pairing. Not to say that that won't be evaluated here at home, but it'll be starting tonight, a primarily National Hockey League lineup. So you're really looking at where those players are at, because I think they'll play primarily at home.
Not as many new faces this year as there were a year ago. But last year, the changes were mostly made on the fringes of the team. This season, it's a big chunk of the top nine. Three of the top six point producers from a year ago no longer here. Two of the top five goal scorers from a year ago no longer here. That's a big chunk to replace.
It is, no question about it. You know, you and I have spoken before. The young core is still intact. But, you know, along those lines, you can't help but look, beginning tonight, at Jesperi Kokkaniemi, who's going to play on a line with Andrei Svechnikov and Marty Natchez, how they gel, how Jesperi and Marty Natchez look individually and collectively. So I don't think it's too early to start to get a gauge. Granted, it's preseason hockey. Mm-hmm. I know the biggest thing Rod is looking for from this NHL group is to see where their pace is at. And I think specifically with Kokkaniemi, that's something that, you know, we want to get a barometer on early. I hope that even in the preseason, I think if Natchez has success after a tough year last year, that could bode very well for him. Paul Stastny, does he look comfortable on the wing where he'll be tonight? And then on the back end, I think you think about two players. You think about Brett Burns, far from being his first rodeo, but starting to get adjusted. The biggest adjustment systematically when you come to a team like Carolina is on the defense. So to be able to get to a point where you're not thinking about where you should be and the adjustments you have to make, and then Coghlan coming over from from Vegas. He'll play tonight, and he's one of the players that certainly is centrally in the mix with regards to your third defensive pair. So those are just a couple of guys that, you know, I think about on an NHL roster primarily that, you know, I'll pay particular close attention to tonight.
Don't answer all my questions before I ask them, Chip Tracy. You're good at that. All right, let's. I want to go back to Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He is going to step in essentially the Vincent Trocheck role. Those are big shoes to fill. And I mean, he's a center, and there was a noticeable difference for him early in the season when he shifted over and played the middle. He started the season playing the wing, then he shifted over based on COVID and injuries. He had to play the middle, and it really was a different player at that point. The end of the season, though, his game kind of vanished after, really started before the injury, I guess, but his game kind of vanished and he really didn't have a good postseason. What kind of pressure is on him to become the player who was drafted third overall, one right behind Andrei Svechnikov?
Adam, I think that there is a very healthy, competitive, patient pressure, if that makes sense, from the standpoint that, first of all, for him to be successful, and you notice that those pockets within the season. I remember distinctly he was shifted to the middle of the ice to start a road trip in November in Vegas.
Yep.
And you saw instantaneously that he's a centerman. Yeah, we knew that, but I think it only solidified it. And then he had stretches. I think about a couple of games after you lost so many forwards due to the COVID, the COVID protocols. The two games right before Christmas against Detroit and Los Angeles, where he really went from being a support player to an impact player. And then for a long stretch of games, he played with real fire in his belly. You could reach out and touch his compete. And I think about a game in St. Louis right before the trade deadline where he fought. Not that that's a part of his game, but I thought that that embodied the fact that he was playing with consistent compete. So for him, we know he's a centerman. The two biggest things on a regular basis that he is going to have to illustrate is pace, because you move up the lineup, you know, and matchups become tougher.
Mm-hmm.
The game gets quicker, even within a National Hockey League game, and he has a big print. He does look stronger to me. Just watching him this morning, it was good to see. I mean, it's just a morning skate, but everything seemed to go on the back of the net. His shot looks heavy. So can he play with pace and can he play with consistent compete? And the last thing is that healthy competition, albeit patient, is you have a Paul Stastny that is slotted on the wing right now, but you have some options. If for whatever reason you go 10, 15, 20 games and Jesperi, you know, you have to be more patient with that progress. You hope you don't get to that point. And you hope that he answers all of those questions. You have some other options in the middle of the ice. You and I have spoken about Jack Drury. He won't play tonight. But I think Donnie Waddell has done an excellent job at, you know, first of all, you know, the long-term extension happened that should give Jesperi some major confidence. But if for whatever reason it's going to take him some time to grow into being able to handle that pace and that compete that is there for a true professional an everydayer in the National Hockey League, that you have some guys that could shift into the middle, or you have guys like Jack Drury coming that create that healthy type of competition, in my view.
All right. We hopefully will have 115 at least of these conversations over the course of the next however many months through June. I'm looking forward to this, Trip Tracy. This is going to be a regular for us. I appreciate your time, and I'll see you very soon.
AG, I can't wait.
It all starts tonight. The first preseason friendly against Tampa Bay Lightning. Hurricanes with mostly an NHL lineup, except for the defense. I don't know if it's an NHL-looking defense, but it does have Shea and Pesci.
Yeah, it seems like the second group there with Coughlin and Chatfield is almost like auditioning for that third pair.
One of those two might be on a third pair. Mm-hmm. I still think that it's probably going to be Ethan Bear, barring a preseason trade. So I think they're auditioning for the seventh spot. My own feeling there.
This is the Adam Gold Show.